Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/frotcast. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. What's going on? It's the Film Drunk Frotcast coming at you not live once again from the Frot Quarters in San Francisco.
Yes.
Oh, it's going to be such a great show. I'm going to shred on my double neck guitar while I shoot flames and talk about Mad Max Fury Road. Great little movie. We got Laramie Legal from film.com.
Hi. Oh, no. Shit.
Who's coming on later.
Oh, okay.
And, sitting across from me, the irregular regular, Mr. Matt Lieb.
Let's hop chrome.
And
Laramie Legal.
And running arm in arm with him through Valhalla.
Yeah.
Brett. Witness me.
His name's Brett. He jumped on me trying to introduce him.
Sorry. You want to do it again?
Brett.
Wow. Good timing.
Yeah, that's some radio action right there.
Yeah.
May he ride eternal, shiny and chrome.
Oh, man.
But first, we got an update on the startup castle.
Oh,
is you guys remember this?
Was it? Did it get burnt down?
I didn't. So no. Is it actually a castle? I didn't see a picture.
Well, there is a moat.
It's big. It kind of looks castle-ish.
Let me point it. Point it at me.
Oh yeah! Look at that.
It's like a McMansion castle.
It's
real dumb.
Downton Flabby.
Downton Flabby.
Mm-hmm. Just a bunch of fat nerds. No girls. If you're going to online date, only do it once a week. There is no other kinds of dating.
The numbers are important.
So that was the ad with all the preconditions, the roommate ad.
Mm-hmm.
CNN Money did a story on it. They interviewed the guy.
I bet it was so money. Everything they do is so, so money. Super mean.
Do they have a picture of this guy?
Mm-hmm.
I only read the recap.
I don't think there's anything in the post that restricts intellectual or cultural diversity at all, said John Lackness, a researcher.
Lackness?
Lackness with an L.
It's still fun. Wait, Lackness.
Lackness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the Lackness monster.
Right, like the Lackness monster. Like lacking in tact.
Oh.
They should call him tactless. Tactless Lackless.
Oh, man.
Burn, motherfucker.
Were you guys mad when you talked about this? Were you like, oh, making sounds like I would make?
Yeah, pretty much. It was a lot of anger.
Somebody was like grunting real mad.
It was hard
pretty universal.
It was hard to process because I was trying to put them in a little box and I was like, they kept coming out of the box a little bit, but then I found a newer, better box that more fit them. And then eventually I was able to realize the exact box that they're in.
And they kept jumping from different douche boxes, like they're in an ice cube tray.
Yep.
Yeah. They threw in a few curveballs, I think, to make them unboxable, but I boxed them.
Yeah. It's a powerful douche to remain uncategorized.
Yeah.
Like normally, you've got your douche stereotypes ready and willing to.
But a tech douche is a very nuanced, specific type of douche.
It's an ephemeral douche.
It really
slithers
is.
like a greasy
snail.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to help. Usually, your animal analogies, I'm like, all right, where's he going with this? This is going to be good.
I was thinking like a sandwich, some kind of greasy sandwich.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's good.
But.
Oh, I came up with an animal analogy recently at IKEA, and that made me think of you. I was like, "Oh, look at all these, look at all these little birds picking out little, with their little beaks, picking out things for their nest.
They want to get it blue so that the ladies will like them.
You mean the IKEA nesting instinct? Yeah, you stole that from Fight Club. Way to go!
What? That's from? Did they talk about birds?
No, he calls it the IKEA nesting instinct.
Well, let's not pretend that Fight Club is the first thing that ever talked about nesting.
Yeah, nests aren't just for birds. Nests are for crocodiles.
Yeah, a lot of things
and
have dolphins
and fucking bats.
But me thinking about their
Russian dolls.
I don't. Yeah, all right.
They're picking out little pieces of their nest with their beaks. That's very Brett.
I would nest in a Russian doll. Yeah. Is this a big one?
What if there's one inside of you?
Well, yeah, I'm the little one. I'm the baby.
How do you know?
Oh, Jesus.
I'm little Brett. I'm only
heart. He's eating his heart.
Your skin is my home.
There's lots of spiders in here.
I don't think there's anything in the post that restricts intellectual or cultural diversity at all, said John Lackness, a researcher and the founder of Startup Castle. That's the type of...
he founded the place he's living in?
Well, he's the one who called it the Startup Castle.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
He kicked the natives out, and now he's the founder. Yeah.
That's the type of diversity that we value, and not so much the superficial diversity.
Mm.
Lackness is not new to the spotlight. In 2007, he appeared on a Survivor-like reality show, Pirate Master, in which 16... Wait, it gets better.
Why did I not know about Pirate Master until just now?
In which 16 contestants competed for $1 million in treasure. He was eliminated in the first episode for threatening to steal the pirate crew's compasses.
This.
He also worked for a time as a male stripper at Chippendales.
Oh, this is wonderful.
What the fuck is going on with this guy?
Lackness and Startup Castle house manager Catherine Fritch say they came up with the ad after going through a list of their friends and picking out the qualities they liked. They also drew on past negative experiences.
Oh, all right. So what I like, no blacks, no women.
How many times does Bob online date? Three? Good. Write it down.
Yeah. I hate Bob. We call him Black Bob behind his back.
He's superficially diverse, and I hate that.
I looked at all my friends, and I noticed that I really value being white.
Yeah. It's about values. I've heard that before.
For example, Lackness said people who actively go to protests can be pushy.
What the fuck is that?
There it is.
And overly political roommates have made things uncomfortable in the house before. We don't want someone protesting that we didn't buy enough milk for the generosity fridge.
You don't know what protesting is. I think you don't know what it is.
Wait, say that again. Say that sentence again.
It's a beautiful sentence, isn't it?
It's like an angel came down, like a Monty Python angel with a little butt trumpet, and it's like, this is the best English.
We don't want someone protesting that we didn't buy enough milk for the generosity fridge.
Man.
That's really hard to pin down. I don't know.
You're right. There's hard to box.
If I weren't a good guy, I would be angry about a lot of stuff, but I don't even know. I wouldn't know where to start. Like,
all right. So we can start with generosity fridge. it's just a communal fridge.
Right.
Generosity.
It's called a fridge. Yeah. You live in a house. You're not the founder. You moved into a house.
Yeah. Right.
You took over a lease from somebody else.
Exactly. You can call it a founder because that's what people in Silicon Valley do.
You can't found something you don't even own.
Hold on, Vince. I'm going to go found your toilet.
Damn it. Get out of there. Let me take over the lease.
CEO of Poop Smells.
So now protesting, what was the sentence again?
None of those. Oh, that's, yeah.
Protesting what?
We don't want someone protesting that we didn't buy enough milk for the generosity fridge.
Okay, so first of all, buy enough milk. That's someone protest. That's complaining about the fact that you're not buying enough milk. That's completely fair. It's not like they're going to fucking write a sign and stand right in front of your door and go like, this motherfucker doesn't buy enough. Like, have you only seen the movie PCU?
Hey, Matt, did you cross the picket line? Yeah. Yeah, dude, I needed some milk.
Yeah. Sorry. Listen, this is the way the rules are here in Fascist Castle. We call it fascial.
Welcome to Loch Ness, bitch. There's no milk.
The no makeup rule was meant to attract outdoorsy people like herself, not to rule out women. Frisch says she only wears makeup once a month and doesn't want the pressure to put it on every morning at home.
What's the pressure? What happens that one time a month? Is that her online date?
Yeah, that's her online date.
Oh, okay, exactly.
Okay. Or it's like when she goes out to buy the milk.
Yeah, no, I think that's the one time a month where all the housemates just force her to dress up. Now look sexy for us. Come on, it's casual Monday, the casual third Monday.
It's the Startup Castle's quarterly formal.
Okay, now everyone.
We all invite people that we online date.
All right, now everyone.
Just one.
Just stand right there, lady, and we're just going to look at the ground because we're afraid of you. You're scary.
And people who constantly post to social media lack, quote, a higher motivation, they agreed. Lackness, who most recently worked for NATO Special Operations Command, took over the lease for the house last September.
Founded the house.
He came up with the name Startup Castle and created a dedicated website with photos of lavish parties and a list of principles to live by, such as, quote, the powerful mind is free from dishonesty, addiction, and fear.
That
All hail Ayn Rand.
I think that would be where I would start if I weren't so positive, is that he's using all the words wrong. Almost right. Milk he got right. Milk's a thing. And yeah, it's in a fridge, yeah, whatever yeah. you want to call that fridge. But all the other words are wrong.
Yeah.
He's not using them right.
I like the idea where he's like, I don't like people who protest. We're all here about to celebrate positivity. So I've got a series of slogans that I saw on Adidas yeah. commercials taped to the walls. Yeah.
I'm a living Pinterest wall. Yeah. I've got like a lot of good things to say about absolutely nothing. And I've got some really good fucking fonts to say them in.
God, imagine if all cults were like this. It's like, rather than at some point you take some poison and then you all die together, you just live. You just live out the rest of your shitty little life, not just following all the rules. Just
this isn't a cult so much as like this is like an ad agency.
That's the
that's
the best promo for a suicide cult I've ever heard.
Yeah,
it's just like, well, what's the other option? You live out your stupid life, follow all the stupid cult rules.
Yeah, right. That's what it sounds like.
Essentially, he is very much into fitness and does care a lot about building this very particular culture. Says Dimitri Karpin, who was on the lease before Lackness.
Mm.
Karpman lived in the house for a year with coworkers while working on his startup, Chat Us, service for talking to random people.
How'd that work out?
He estimates the rent for the entire 11-bedroom home, officially called Buck Estate, is about $20,000 a month.
The rent in total?
Yeah. Okay. Lackness would only confirm that it's expensive. 10 people live there now, but some are leaving soon, and they want to find 5 new tenants.
Holy fuck. 10 people?
And there's like 3 people to a room?
$20,000? Oh my God. That's just so expensive.
So, would you want to spend $2,000 to live in a like to share a bedroom with some other 30-year-old weirdo?
If they're not wearing makeup and
how many bedrooms are in
there? They're okay with the fact that gay marriage is banned across the nation. 11. Then, yeah,
11.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not. I mean, you get your own bedroom.
No, they're sharing bedrooms. They showed pictures of like they probably
that's fucking weird.
They probably use so some like, of the bedrooms as like conference spaces.
Twenty k
like
a month.
Oh,
you got 11 bedrooms.
I bet they
you got. 10 people living there. You can all be paying like very little rent and have access to the generosity fridge, but they're fucking sharing bedrooms. That's straight up cult action. Are they bunk beds?
Yeah, I think so. Right? Really? I mean, from what I heard people describe, I haven't seen a picture. They sounded like cots at the very least. You were
on holy shit.
Yeah, look at like it. It's like a dorm room.
Looks like a dorm room. Yeah,
what
exactly.
the fuck? You've all got your own bedrooms.
That's why if someone fucks. Oh, Brent, damn. Brent that's just a, saw picture of him. Holy
pirate shit. Master. His head's way too small and long. He's got a long, small head.
Oh, man.
I wouldn't let that guy anywhere near my compasses.
Would you let him strip for you at the Chippendales?
No. Yeah, for sure. What? Well, let's be real. If that guy was a stripper at Chippendales, he knows what he's doing. I mean, I'd watch. I just to see the technique.
What's his startup in the startup castle?
They didn't say he last worked for NATO.
I don't care.
And now he says he's self-employed.
Yeah.
He's, without elaborating.
Yeah.
He's a self-help guru.
He's a cult founder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's a pretty good job. The cult founder.
Who are the wieners that I've bought in already?
They only interviewed the house manager and they didn't show a picture of her.
Yeah. But she's technically an employee, isn't she?
They didn't show a picture of her because it wasn't her time of the month to wear makeup. She's like, well, sorry. Yeah.
Used it up earlier.
This is the thing. You don't have to wear makeup, but a ban on makeup is absolutely their way of being like, eh, we don't really want women here all that
well,
much.
Well, no, it's their like way of being like, we don't want
superficial.
We don't want stereotypically non-San Francisco women.
Yeah, no, but that's the thing. Absolutely, the what they're looking for is men. I mean, that's what they're looking for. They can pretend like, no, we just want a very particular type. I'm sure there's like this woman quota that they have. We're like, listen, we got to get at least one woman. I know we hate women, guys, but we got to get one so that people don't know that we hate women. And then they probably...
I don't think this is traditional.
Sexually harass her.
Yeah, I don't think this is traditional sexism. I think this is straight up cult.
No.
This is straight up cult founding, where it's just like, oh yeah, and if you got blue eyes, you're out because that's the sign of the aliens.
Listen, I don't think it's traditional sexism, but it might even be passive sexism. But it's still that is absolutely sexism. That's just what it sounds exactly like.
I think he's just fishing for gimmicks. Like where you know you have self-help stuff where it's like, look, you just can't eat potatoes. Potatoes are the eggs of the devil, and he lays them in the earth for you to for you to get spawned into, and then you're gonna come back as some sort of other root-based vegetable, like a turnip or a.
He looks and sounds like a guy who in previous places or looking for places to live with roommates, he was like, I have to be in a place where the women aren't too hot because we're definitely gonna fuck. Because fucking look at me.
Yeah.
I'm a Chippendales dancer.
I'm gonna get all up in that pussy. Yeah. Everyone knows it.
Ride your bicycle.
Yeah. But then, yeah, the bike stuff too. Oh, man.
For you Film Drunk Frotcast listeners, Audible Trial is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. One book I recommend is So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson. He's kind of awkward and British, and he reads his own book, and he's got a weird voice, but it's a very interesting book about, you know, people that have drawn the scorn of the internet hordes and how that affects their life. Should be right up your alley for anyone who listens to us complain about those kind of things. Again, that's audibletrial.com/frotcast for your free audiobook download. This kind of reminds me, I saw Tomorrowland this week.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like the most aggressively Disney movie. Like the whole plot is like telling you that that you should think positively. And the only reason that things are bad is because everybody's got such a negative Nelly attitude.
Because everyone's a Brett. Everyone's a
No, I'm good now.
Oh, that's right.
I'm good now.
He became a shill 2 weeks ago.
That's right. You're post-Brett now.
Yes. I hope someday we can all be post-Brett.
Hey, that's the world I want to live in.
So I was saying, it's like sort of like the difference.
I am my own suicide cult.
A suicide cult of one.
Uh-huh. Mm.
So I was saying, it's sort of like the difference between making someone laugh and telling someone that they should laugh.
Oh,
where like one completely works, and then the other one just makes people hate you
and scared.
Yeah,
it's a scary thing to tell someone to laugh.
And there's like a theme story running through this, you know.
This is Tomorrowland.
Parable they tell. She tells her dad the story about the two wolves.
They fuck.
There are two wolves fighting inside all of us. Mm. One represents lightness and hope.
Oh, Jesus.
The other, darkness and despair.
I thought there were wolves.
Do you know which one wins?
Lightness and hope?
Whichever wolf is bigger.
Whichever,
right?
The answer is the one you feed.
That's better, but close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, but my question, first of all, that's a terrible story on like so many levels.
Yeah.
The first one, all right, so you got two animals fighting inside of you.
Yeah.
Why would you pick wolves?
Yeah.
Other animals, like tigers, are territorial. They fight each other.
Exactly.
Wolves hunt in packs.
Yeah, they're pack animals.
What the fuck?
They're probably just play fighting. Don't feed either of them. Let them go somewhere else.
Second of all, it's a dumb question because she says inside everyone there's two wolves fighting. Which one wins? Obviously, neither of them wins. Otherwise, they wouldn't have to keep fighting the whole time.
Right, exactly.
I have answers.
If one of them won, you would have one wolf inside of you.
I think it's parasites.
Tapeworms. You give two tapeworms inside you.
Yeah. Whichever one eats the food out of your colon first wins.
Listen, Johnny. Uh-huh. Each one of us has two ferrets fucking inside of us.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I have answers. It's because every...
Which one wins?
Every idiot...
The one that gets pregnant.
You can't...
Doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Every idiot parable involves wolves. So whether it's like wolves and shepherds and sheepdogs.
What is going on with that?
Or like wolves on top of wolves. Or it's like, hey, my father once told me that there's a wolf pyramid. And you live inside of the wolf pyramid. You're like the wolf mummy. And if your tomb is disturbed, the pyramid will collapse.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Especially if you eat potatoes.
Yeah.
You gotta lay them.
Devil eggs.
Speaking of that, someone sent me this shirt. I don't know if you know the country Ranger Up. It's like
country
jingoist.
There's a country?
No. The company.
Company.
They make T-shirts. I guess for like people in the military or people that really want to.
I think it's probably the second one.
So the
military already has shirts.
That's true.
They give them to you for free.
You have to wear tan ones.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So the tweet says, proud to partner with our friend Dakota Meyer on this shirt. Hashtag ISIS, hashtag USMC, hashtag Army, hashtag USA, hashtag Lions. And the shirt has Medal of Honor recipient Dakota Meyer standing in front of a flag. And then it's got a quote next to it. And it says, ISIS hunting Americans is like a sheep hunting a lion.
Nice. I'm with that.
Mm-hmm. It's like I thought there was wolves, but there's definitely sheep. Kind of the same.
Yeah,
it's either a wolf, a lion, or a sheep. Or a lamb. But a lamb is its sheep.
They're never branching out, and they're never like, oh, the sea cucumber is the most noble of all creatures. It's always like wolf, lion, sheep.
Whatever looks good on a totem pole.
Can't have no ferrets on your totem pole.
Yeah, fuck that.
A lion hunting a ferret is like ISIS playing with drugs.
Oh, sick tattoo. What is it? Oh, it's two ferrets fucking. One of them's going to get pregnant. That's the one that's going to live inside me.
Now we all have a little ferret baby inside of us.
It's a metaphor.
Yeah. Did you guys see the stand-up clip that Joe posted?
Oh, Jesus.
No. Who is it?
So first of all, I got to set it up. He wrote... The post,
is it Dan Ninen?
No. The post is, joke thief alert. This guy stole Justin Decker's closing bit. Please don't let him get away with
it. Is this posted on Joe's wall? Did Joe make the post?
Okay. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome God's one and only voice of comedy, Mike Warnke.
Yeah. This is exciting. God's one and only voice of comedy. The Pope.
Told me this is going to be a Christian thing, and I can tell you right now, that boy up there on stage, he is not a Christian because he's got that long hair. Why do people drive on parkways and park on driveways?
Kill
what
me.
Is daylight savings time? And if we're saving so much of it, who's got it all?
It's Jesus.
How do you know when yogurt's gone bad?
Yogurt.
The best is he just makes ridiculous faces after every line.
Yeah.
That's what you did in the 80s. You told like a really bad one-liner and then you went,
ooh.
And then you went, nah. Not to talk shit on Larry Bubbles Brown, who's dope-ass motherfucker, but everyone.
Nobody knows.
Listen, they should know because Larry Bubbles Brown is dope.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
How do you get Teflon to stick to a skillet when nothing sticks to Teflon?
It's like he wasn't even committed
to
that.
How hard would it be to nail Jell-O to a wall? Inquiring minds want to know, you know?
Wait for it.
Very exciting.
Like flying, for example. People think that's a normal thing to do. Go out to the airport and go out to the airport. Go out to the airport. Go out to the airport. Get on an airplane and go somewhere. Do you realize what you're doing? You're getting in a hollow metal tube with wings on it. Under the command of a complete stranger, you're letting this guy take you to 35,000 feet and travel in excess of 400 miles an hour.
Uh-oh.
That's like saying, strap me to this bullet and send me home.
So this it's gonna turn. It's gonna take a big left turn in a second, but
probably right turn.
Thus far, it's sort of like the germ of all comedy.
Yeah.
Where it's like, here's like a dumb, funny-ish thing that like literally every person in the world has probably thought of.
Right. These are all jokes that I've heard before.
Right. Which is why.
Is it stolen from one source? Or
no, it's just.
It's an amalgamation of God's love.
It's just bad. It's just like the.
I swear to God, I've heard all of these.
It's
before.
Like the this crappy comedian inside all of us that, mm-hmm. in most people's cases, never has a chance to get out.
And never has the support of the Christian community.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
That helps a lot.
But anyway, it's gonna take a turn in a second.
Oh, please be about Jews.
It's a dangerous and weird thing to do. I had a sex change operation 3 years ago, and I got saved last night. I want you to tell me what to do with the rest of my life. You better have some Jesus on tap then. I'm talking about a little girl who was murdered last year, 1987, in the state of Louisiana by having her sexual organs cut out while she was still alive. A lot of you think that when a Satanist kills, they do so because they want to spill blood.
I swear to God, this is the same bit. This is the same show. This is not from a different... No, no cut.
I've seen enough late-night movies to think that. But if a Satanist or any other kind of occultist kills an animal or a human sacrifice, it's not to spill blood. It's to release the life force. Because when the life force is released, and you've done the right incantations and rituals, you can absorb that force, they say, and it makes you a stronger wizard, warlock, or whatever.
Well, he was just improvising that.
And the longer the death and more prolonged the death and the more agonizing the death, the more force is released. So they took this little girl and they killed her by cutting her sexual organs out while she was still alive. After she was dead, they cut her chest open, took out her heart, cut it up in little pieces, and took communion on it.
This season on True Detective.
And after she was dead, they cut down both sides of her head and down the back. They peeled the flesh away from the bone. They stole her skull to be used in satanic rituals, took her mutilated body, put her in a garbage sack, and threw her in the dump. And I am a winner.
And then it freeze framed in black and white like an 80s sitcom.
And I am a what?
A winner.
What is it?
So this guy's shtick.
What did he win?
I had to look him up on Wikipedia.
I won the body parts.
So he apparently he claimed to be to have been a high priest of the Church of Satan until like he was saved by Jesus, and he like wrote a book, and he was like he was one of those guys that was an expert witness on all the daytime TV shows during the Satan craze of the late 80s.
Like, yeah,
that was my favorite craze of the late 80s. Right. Yeah. Hands down, number one. Right. We're all like playing Dungeons and Dragons and listening to what, like Sabbath.
Yeah, right above the crack epidemic.
Yeah, that one's
that's a good craze.
So he eventually got caught having made it all up, and
I'm so confused shocking. Right now. I don't understand any of what's happening.
He claimed that he
Let's
was
run
like
from the beginning. So Joe posted this
that was
on
a
Facebook.
Really
yeah, and he's like, this guy stole Justin Decker's closer about warlocks and cutting off little girls' genitals.
Yeah, I have to say, like that's the one thing that separates Christian comedy from all other comedy. Is that at some point, yeah, at some point in the show, they just start talking about stuff and it ceases to be funny.
And you're like looking around, you're like, is this supposed to be a joke? Is he going somewhere with this? Well, and they're like, no, he's just talking about God.
This is just the sales pitch part.
Yeah.
You heard all the funny stuff that came directly from God. And now's the part where we get to give back by just listening about it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so, that is so strange. It, like people always talk about, I always see like in documentaries and stuff about comedy that they'll have like a Christian comic. I forget which one I saw, but there's always this like victimhood, you know, thing. There's this victim complex where they're like, you know, how come we're not taken seriously in the comedy scene, and all these other sinners are. Mm-hmm. And then you'll see their set, and they'll do a couple of those like hacky, you know, 80s one-liners and whatnot, and then they'll be like,
what's the deal with goldfish?
Right, exactly. And but then they'll,
why do they call it taking a dump when really you're leaving one?
Yeah, you're giving it straight there. Face.
Yeah, making a face.
Oh, look at my crazy mug. And, yeah, and but then they'll show a clip of them just talking about Jesus for a bit, and uh-huh. You'll be like, oh, this is the reason, because you've got like a 10-minute thing just about how much you love God, and there's nothing funny about that. Right. At all. I appreciate that, you know, you love God. Good
this
for you.
This isn't stand-up comedy. This is a sermon with some shitty jokes at
the beginning. Exactly. Yeah. And it's just bleh. But that was actually the funniest shit I've ever heard.
So anyway, I had to look this guy up, and yeah, like I said, he was one of those guys that they would trot out as the expert on Satanism in the late 80s and the mid 80s, because he had claimed that he was like a drug dealer, and he was became like a high priest
warlock.
In the church. Yeah, he became a high warlock in the Church of Satan until he was saved. And so now he like gives talks about the ritualistic Satanist killings.
Yes.
And he wrote like a whole book about it that's like some Christian magazine figured out that was all not real.
I
am always just one bored afternoon away from just lying to the Christians.
Yeah.
And just starting up either a whole fucking cult thing,
yeah,
or just you know, making a movie about some dumb space unicorn garbage.
There's one thing.
Easy on space unicorn.
Well,
don't invoke the power of space unicorn.
You're right,
for
sorry,
negative.
That, yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
That's your god.
Yeah.
It's the space unicorn.
That's right.
But I mean, they obviously, you know, will believe whatever's written down.
Yeah, you could just make stuff up, and then you could sell it as long as you put the right numbers in there with a colon between them.
It's the right spin, too. It's like the, of course, this is true because it's what they don't want
you to know.
My kid
died three times, came back all three.
You know why you don't hear about this in the mainstream media? It's because motherfuckers don't want you to know about
Obama, because he's a Muslim.
Yeah, because you know why, because, you know.
I'm not, you don't
have Jewish run media is trying to hide it.
Got their hand in your pocket.
Yeah, the Church of Satanism.
Oh, also, I mean, if you're looking to hijack a community that's going to be a great audience, you could probably do a lot worse than.
And they're all so nice.
They're so nice. So they're used to sitting. They're nice. They're gullible. Yeah. They're supportive. Yeah. They're used to sitting for like a really shitty sermon.
Suck up all the goodness out of them.
There's a community.
Like this guy. This guy is obviously a bad person.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
but like I could be that bad person if I weren't good now. Like old pre-Brett. Definitely be into just like sucking all the goodness out of an audience because they're just there to listen and just like get a little bit of hope out of you.
Yeah. I don't think I haven't thought of it. I've been like, you know, I need.
What's your angle?
I need an angle.
What's your angle?
It could be.
Right now, it's Jewish hipster.
No, well, I think my angle.
If he's going to reinvent himself as a manipulative.
No, I mean, you asked what he was
TV
now.
Ready.
Right now.
What's your plan then?
He could be an ex-Jewish hipster who found Jesus.
That's right. Good.
Right.
And who helped him get him off heroin and stop being a Jew.
Right, exactly. Stop it.
I used to be such a Jew.
Yeah. And then I saw the Lord and I realized like, oh shit, I killed him. And now I can help bring him back.
Yeah, that's
with
good.
You guys. I don't know why I do the accent. That's, you know, there's plenty of Christians who don't have the accent. But they're less fun to talk about. They're better when they talk like this.
This is Gary from Fremont.
This is Gary from Fremont. I just want to say God bless the Lord. And I've got some stand-up comedy jokes that I wanted to do for you. What's the deal with airplane travel? Just think about it for a bit. Anyways, Jesus Lord, goodbye.
So as I was going through this guy's Wikipedia rabbit hole, I found out that there was actually multiple Christian former Satanists who had written books like in the late 80s, and they had like a total rivalry. Like one accused the other of stealing his testimony,
or still being both, Satan.
They were both discredited. Yeah, they're all complete liars. Yeah. But they were like arguing with each other. Oh man,
that's a great way to seem like you're legitimate is if other people are like, hey, no, I heard that from God first. Yeah. Hey, that's bullshit. You can't steal.
God said you're a shithead, man. I heard him.
But like punditry, they're all fucking liars and plagiarists. Like,
all
of them. They're all like discredited assholes or former presidents. Like you just.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much. You just need like one really good bit on a daytime TV thing.
Yeah.
And then you're fucking Dr. Oz.
or Joel Osteen.
Yeah, I don't know who that is, but yes.
Oh, Joel Osteen is a very handsome man who just wants to let you know about the love of Jesus.
Oh, cool.
You don't know him? Oh, he's so handsome.
Yeah, all right.
He's like one of those guys who's like
scary, like Disney white teeth mannequin looking.
Yeah, he was born.
Should I tell him about potatoes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Could that be my thing?
Yeah, hey.
I mean,
get up there and testify, brother Brett. He's got something to say about potatoes.
We've broken a lot of ground today on like what it takes to be a cult leader, and I think we should just run with this.
Mm-hmm. Man, that would be so.
You guys want to be my cult friends?
Okay, what's your origin story? Because something bad had to happen to you, and then you found something that
would
change it. I used
to be evil, and then I thought, hey, I'm bad at podcasting, so now I'm good.
Okay, what kind of evil deeds did you do? Cheat on your taxes?
I said a bunch of mean things about internet commenters. I said
you
Kevin
did.
Smith has little weird arms.
Yep. Little T-Rex arms. Yeah. That's what it sounds like when he talks.
Mark Wahlberg has the T-Rex arms.
Yeah, but Kevin Smith's like, he's got the little, I mean, let's not get into how.
But you said a lot of terrible things.
Yeah,
about him.
And I said that nerd culture was bad.
Yeah.
You and Simon Pegg.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's in trouble.
Sorry. No, did you read his follow-up? That guy is smart as hell.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah.
Wait, what did Simon Pegg say?
He got in trouble because he was like, I don't know, I think maybe we gone too far and nerd culture makes us childish. And everyone's like,
and all the nerds just went crazy.
Flipped out. And then he was like, no, but seriously, like, it's cool or whatever. And like, I understand the urge to escape, but like, honestly.
But hey, maybe grow up, guys.
Yeah, it's a major institution and you're paying a bunch of money for it. And it's not like
He said, it's a kind of dumbing down in a way because it's taking our focus away from real world issues. Films used to be about challenging emotional journeys or moral questions that might make you walk away and reevaluate how you felt about whatever. Now we're walking out of the cinema really not thinking about anything other than the fact that the Hulk just had a fight with a robot.
That
he's not
robot
a, he's not
fight,
a robot. He's a man inside a suit inside of a smaller, larger suit.
And also it's a metaphor yeah. about Nazi Germany.
He's a nest of robots.
Yeah.
And then he said he apologized.
JK.
The dumbing down comment came off as a huge generalization by a grade A asshorn. I did not mean that science fiction or fantasy are dumb. Far from it. The point of all this is just to get my position clear. I'm not out of the fold. My passions and preoccupations remain. Sometimes it's good to look at the state of the union and make sure we're getting the best we can get.
Yeah, all
right. I.e., not Marvel.
I don't think you have to apologize.
No, but he does because everybody...
He's afraid of being doxxed. You guys ever been doxxed? It sounds scary. I don't want to ever be doxxed.
He's got like three X's.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually don't think I know what doxxed is.
It's extreme.
It's where they take your dox and they put an X on the end of them. I just wanted to make sure people still had that in their head from last week.
Yeah, now it's back and stuck forever.
What was that?
That's the theme song to Growing Pains. Speaking of people who love Jesus. Growing Pains, you know, Kirk Cameron.
Oh, he makes the Christmas movies.
Yes, he does.
Sure does.
I only ever seen Growing Pains.
Well, really? Never?
No.
As long as we got each other, we got the world second now. The non-Jews and you, and kill the Jews. Luckiest dreamers. I don't know. I'm done.
Okay.
You can just keep going if you want.
You know, we've got a lot of time left.
All right, all right. People like it when you sing.
You know, not everyone likes me. Someone commented on Film Drunk, said that he didn't like me.
Oh, he said, actually, what he said
let's read what he said.
Wait, why do you have that queued up? That's mean.
Oh, you had it ready to go?
It was in his teeth. He didn't even change tabs. He just scrolled out.
He knew I was going to talk about it.
Look at that fucking grin on him.
I thought about it for a few hours, too. I sat there and I was like, I knew I was a piece of shit. I'm ruining the broadcast. I should have remained a regular. I should have never come back more than once in a row. Well, I'm crazy. No one even cares about that. No one's going to bring it up on the broadcast anyways. Maybe I'll talk about it for a second. Vince will be like, I didn't even... You have it cued. Just because you want to gloat.
Ton Travolta says, I listened to the broadcast from the beginning and recently had to quit. I think it's mainly due to Matt Lieb.
More blubbering. The walrus voice is like...
He completely takes over the podcast. It might be the most annoying motherfucker of all time. I'll click the skip 30 seconds button and hear his dumb voice after every single click. Vince is awesome. Brendan's awesome. Ben's awesome. Brett is insane but lovable if he keeps his nonsensical rants short and sweet. The episode with Joe in the Museum of Comedy was one of the best yet. I have the feeling I'm in the minority. Minority here, but Matt Lieb ruined it for me. Gonna unsubscribe for a while, but I'll check back in a year or so.
No, what are we gonna do without his money?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We're totally dependent on we're at the mercy of our fans.
But to be real, I've been waiting for a while for someone to be like, hey, so why the fuck is Matt Lieb always there? I mean, shouldn't he just be there sometimes? And then finally he said it, and I was like, you know what? He's right. And then I started cutting myself.
Here's the fun thing.
I mean,
he wasn't
the first one to ever say that.
Yeah. What do you mean he wasn't the first one?
We keep you off the email. So, I mean, there's been other.
Oh, my God. You do keep me off the email. I don't know what goes on in that email.
It's bad. It's real bad.
Oh, really?
It's just to shelter you.
Oh, just read
the anti-Semitism.
Read me more. I want to know. I bet.
No, that's the first complaint.
But here's the fun thing is Vince won't let you quit no matter how hard you want to.
No.
And like I am full bore on just like I would just leave. I just go away and you never have to hear from me again.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden the Uber shows up at your door and you're like, all right, I guess we'll go. And then you know who's driving it? Fucking Vince.
I know.
It's a Vince clone.
I do drive an Uber sometimes.
Yeah, hey, you gotta make money.
I just like that little sign on the front. Uh-huh. The U. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Omega. Yeah.
But no, that guy's right. I'm a piece of shit, so it's cool. Fuck me.
What do you guys think of that Game of Thrones?
Oh,
that was
with all the raping.
raping was just a small part of how dumb that episode.
Like, oh, I thought
lazily written.
Well, it went from the high. Okay, so the Snake Sisters were started last episode, and that
last episode, badass.
No, but the Snake Sister part was fucking stupid. Those are the worst actors they've ever had on the show.
I don't know why they killed that guy in the sand either. That was a weird thing. Yeah, no.
Like that whole subplot's idiotic. Yeah, but
the parts.
But they went from the high of the dwarf lives until we find a cock merchant, which is one of the best lines in the history of television.
So funny. Yeah.
But yeah.
But you mean you didn't like the fact that the Snake Sisters fought in that courtyard and then just immediately got caught?
That whole thing was dumb. The whole thing was dumb.
It was a little bit.
They snuck into their royal palace.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, it actually happens to be at the same time as the other people that are. And then they're like, oh, like the fighting wasn't even good.
No. And then the whole meeting in the desert was stupid.
Yeah.
Like the setup to that plot was dumb. And then the execution of it was dumb.
Yeah.
It was just lazy.
I have a lot of trouble criticizing the show because I just am like, yeah, well, that's what happened. Because I look at it as like a historical text.
Well, OK, so that's what I think is funny, because so Sansa got raped or whatever. And I don't really think that it was. I mean, there's been a lot of rape in the show. It's like
hell
of
rape.
It's set in a rapey era. Yeah. Like,
it's a rapey universe. Right. It's not like that. The era is just dictated by the writer who just writes a very rapey show.
So here's what people are pissed off about.
Now people are free to criticize because now it's departed from the books.
Right.
Whereas in the past, they could have just been like, "Well, dude, that was in the book," and people were like, "So this it's George R. R. Martin,
Benioff and Weiss."
Yeah, so now that they've departed from the book, like, people are free to criticize it as if it's not like a text where they're like, dare you do this for your own canon. Tilly.
Wait,
yeah.
So people are criticizing because of the fact that it's not in the
fork. They don't like the direction the fork
not
is taken.
All of it. I mean, there's a lot of it that's like they thought the rape was gratuitous. Yes. And
so here's my beef.
Well, but it's Ramsay. A piece of shit. He cut fucking Reek's dick off and made him call him Reek.
Let me beef.
Okay, beef.
Okay. They like Ramsay way too much. Like, they are very, very closely circling like medieval torture porn, and I think they kind of like that. And then they need an avatar to inflict all of this ridiculous one-upsmanship on the gratuitous scale.
Okay.
Like, I fucking loved Ned getting his head cut off. I didn't really like the Red Wedding, and I thought fucking Oberon getting his head squished was, like, a little bit predictable.
Like,
they're like, all right, what's...
That came out of left field.
Oh, really? I was like, all right, what's the worst thing that can happen here? Like, they're just well, like, now they're going to...
He loses the fight. And then, the way in which he lost the fight, to me, he fights a giant.
It looks like he's winning. Like, it's getting increasingly, like, what's the next step in, like, the graphic violence they can do? They're going to have, like, someone lose their face, and it's a baby, and the baby's on fire, and it's getting raped. Like, they're just stacking these little towers of gratuity.
Which is good. I like the fact that it's gratuitous.
I don't like that. It cheapens it. I like the surprise. I don't want the fucking second to last episode of every season to be like, and this guy got his guts pulled out. Isn't that gross?
Oh yeah, yeah. Not like, that so much.
They
that.
Want to do that though. I don't trust them.
But I mean, like scenes.
I don't mind that.
I mean, like scenes where there's like two lords sucking each other's dicks, or shaving each other's chest. That was amazing.
Yeah.
Or just like a lot of stuff that just takes place in a brothel
for no
reason.
Fine with that.
Or Theon like fingering his sister on a horse.
Yeah.
See, all that I just take as like they're living in this really.
It's off.
What happened? Can we hear each other? Everything's good?
I got that too.
Did you just kick the power out or something?
No, I didn't. I didn't touch anything.
Maybe. Are we recording? Check your.
Yeah, that was
check the recording.
Yeah, it's all there. Okay. This is weird.
Weird.
All right. So. Oh, it's the headphone jack.
Sorry. Continue talking.
Sorry.
All right, and we'll start from here. You'll know because of the waveform. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah,
you're right.
I'm not going to edit that.
No.
Okay. I was
this is
say,
Brechtian podcasting. we take them into our journey with us.
Yeah, sure. Why not? I don't know. I think the world that they've established is already one in which people just a rapey universe. And so because of that, I don't like it makes it so that every time someone has a knife to their throat or someone is in the room with someone else that anything can happen. And so it keeps me on edge is what it does. I like that.
I'm arguing against that. I think they're
the best part of the show.
Listen, I'm not saying like, oh no, somebody's going to die and it's going to be gross and they're going to portray it in a gross way.
Yeah.
I'm like, they are now mandating that has to happen at a specific point in order to like play. They've now structuralized what was originally shocking. And now it's like, oh, to shock someone. Like, if no major character gets fucking gutted this season, I would be shocked.
Yeah,
like,
but
they've established it's torture.
Well,
porn.
You're talking about gratuity. The thing you like is the unpredictability, which comes from being unsympathetic towards the characters.
Yes, I love that.
No, the gratuity is part of it because that's the thing. Because of the fact that it's so brutal, and you really have.
Well, you can be brutal without being like showing a dude with his guts.
I'm okay with them showing the guts. It's that it happens at a regular interval, and they're now like, look, well, last time we had a guy's guts fall out, so now maybe the guts fall out, and they put like a bunch of beetles
on
the guts.
And then a dog shits on the guts, and then Tyrion has to eat the guts with the shit on
like, there's
him.
And then
he fucks a whore with the shit-covered guts. And the aristocrats.
I don't.
It's very much, the original.
Yeah, you're right. This whole series is the aristocrats. Yeah. That is a good point.
The power was in that it was shocking. You weren't expecting that to happen. It's like, all right, you've established that no one is safe. I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah, but
I don't care
not
how
not
they
just
stop,
no
stop,
one
stop,
in
stop,
the
stop.
Universe, but the viewer themselves is not safe from anything that could happen. And so it keeps you on this constant edge of like at any point someone could just fucking tear someone's face off.
The next season is going to be Saw, and it's going to be dumb as Saw. And it's like, oh no, what if he saws his foot off? It's like, that's been done in 3 movies before Saw.
One
of which was Mad Max.
Listen, not at any point in this series have I ever watched someone just get stabbed with a sword like regular and got, oh, this is old hat. No, this is boring. I've seen someone get stabbed. What I really want to see is them pull the guts out and just start eating it like spaghetti. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not vying for that, but when it happens, it usually happens in a way that's logical. It makes sense that Ramsay would rape his wife on you know, and so,
but like that should have affected me somehow, and I was like, oh well, there we go. It was looking
okay.
Like
that. I get you.
They stole the fact that should have been a deeply shocking scene, and now it's like, well, par for the course. It's all.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely par for the course.
But they're skipping the part that originally made me into the series, which was like the maneuverings involved in like the various power factions. Like they were just like. I was really excited for this season because apparently it's when the religion comes to rise and there's a bunch of conflicting religions.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I was super pumped up for that because that's really good world building where you've got 3 or 4 different, you know, competing religions all trying to like formalize and build up.
No spoilers.
I haven't read the books.
Okay,
told me that.
You're spoiling it.
Instead of doing that, they did a fucking montage of these guys with sticks. And then suddenly they're imprisoning the queen. It's like,
that was
an episode and a half. Like, that should have been the whole fucking season. Like, where the fuck did that come from? They're suddenly in charge now? Like,
yeah, that actually, I will agree with.
They snuffed my excitement for, like, this other, like, all right, so you've got the royalty, mm-hmm. and you've got, like, the brutal peasantry assassins. Like, uh-huh. You've got, and then now here's the religion, and they just didn't fucking do it.
Yeah, I mean, but they also...
Okay, but you guys...
Okay.
Lazy.
You have to know what Senator Claire McCaskill thinks.
Oh, yeah.
Because I just love that our
that
senators have opinions about Game of Thrones.
Sure.
And it's a news story. I kind of love that.
Yeah.
I love that we're going to be voting on opinions on Game of Thrones next. Probably like not 2016, but probably 2020.
She voted against the rape of Sansa. The funeral rape.
Yeah.
She was for the rape when Jaime did it next to the casket, and then suddenly she's for it when it's Sansa.
She's a rape flip-flopper.
And everyone's going to get all mad, and there'll be little riots, like stupid, dumb riots about how Game of Thrones didn't have the right. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Missouri Democrat, known for clever and timely tweets, expressed her disgust on Tuesday, saying she planned to boycott the HBO series.
What?
After it aired the scene involving, she didn't really see that, it's just Us Weekly. Here's the tweet. Okay, I'm done with Game of Thrones, McCaskill 61 wrote. Water Garden, stupid. Gratuitous rape scene, disgusting and unacceptable. It was a rocky ride that just ended.
But they didn't mention the queen imprisonment. Like,
yeah,
that's well, the, inconsistent but, with the universe.
But mention two things that you
yeah,
you didn't
I'm
like.
On board. I'm gonna vote for whoever the fuck tweeted that thing.
Now, are people mad?
I'm gonna vote for Ask Dan 37.
Are people? Here's the thing. I saw that as one of the kind of weaker rape scenes in terms of like power that they've done. No, really. Like,
we should do a ranking of HBO's rape.
Yeah,
scene.
I know which rape scene was power was rating, better. Yeah. But
who raped it best?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like I saw it as like you know, there wasn't like a lot of struggling. It was no. What I'm saying is like you're talking about like people getting their face squeezed off and being gratuitous and disgusting, but. If in the universe Ramsay is a fucking monster and he totally it's completely logical and completely well within his character that he would rape Sansa on the wedding night, and they didn't really show the rape, they just show Reek's face as he watches this horrifying scene, and I kind of felt like what are they gonna just not have Ramsay rape her just because. That's the thing. It's I don't see why not.
Yeah, like you're arguing, 100%,
especially yeah. since in to me, I don't know where the story goes. So maybe the story like that's gonna be some Ramsay's gonna get his. Is that
like arguing internal consistency and then arguing for like dumb plot lines are two different things. So like I'm pissed off because of the fucking water garden okay. and the queen imprisonment
yeah,
because
fair.
They're
those are both
internally
fair.
Inconsistent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah,
they're
yeah.
like. We've established the world works this way, and then they're like, also, never mind, it's fucking like Saturday afternoon cartoons. The rape scene is internally consistent, but like, I'm not interested in Ramsay as a character. He's not, like, he's like a surrogate Joffrey, and they're like, oh shit, we ran out of Joffrey, what's the next thing? Like, how do we make...
You're definitely right about
that. We need like a backup sadist, like, go in the B-Squad, and... I don't really give a shit about his plotline. I thought his thing with the fucking Theon was too long, too. I'm like, I get it. He cut his dick off. He's torturing him. Like, I don't need this to happen every episode. Like, understood. Mm-hmm. Carry on. Like, it's not an interesting
plotline. I thought that the gratuity
was part of it. So it's internally consistent, but it's mundane and threatening to make the interesting parts not interesting.
Let me
anymore.
Say this, though. I hate to say it, but... when Stannis was telling his daughter why he loved her,
yeah,
kind of bawled my fucking eyes out.
You know he's
going
to kill her. Like, that's a big
still,
setup to drain her blood.
That was such a good scene, though. I was
that's not a spoiler. You're just guessing.
I don't read the books.
Okay.
I don't read.
But did you like that scene, or am I big pussy?
You're a pussy.
No, that was great. That was really great. I didn't bawl, but I definitely started tearing up a little bit. I thought that was...
But yeah, they mentioned like three times her like royal blood, and it's definitely... The end of the second to last episode is going to be draining her dry.
Maybe what's his name?
Yeah,
the
right.
other guy with the stone men. What's the guy who got a stone?
Jorah.
Jorah. He's going to have to drink her blood or something.
No. Yeah, no. I don't know.
Every time I hear stone men, I just hear
so like imagine
I hear Soundgarden in my ear where I'm like
stone man, come together with my hand, save me. I'm together with your plan, save me.
Do 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 do. Do, do,
Black Hawk's son.
No, that's a different song.
It's a good
song.
And wash
away the rain, Black Hawk's son. Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come?
Black Hawk's son.
Oh, won't you come?
Black Hawk's son. Black Hawk's son.
Oh, won't you come? Won't you care?
Black Hole Sun.
You're gonna have to do some min-maxing on this shit. You're peeking the whole time.
Peek-a-boo.
Peeking from behind the Black Hole Sun.
We gotta get Laramie on.
Do we have to?
No, we don't have to.
No, I love him. I love him. did
he's
he
got
he,
his dumb picture on?
Did he see the movie? Of course he did.
Hello?
Hey.
Hello.
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 Hey.
Hey, Laramie.
Laramie.
Yeah.
Did you know that you don't have to have your own opinions anymore? You can just order them by number, like a Chinese restaurant. All you have to do is wait a week and let the internet decide. So we've already covered, like, I'm a number 3, Matt's a number 2, and Vince is a number 15 on the Game of Thrones rape scene.
No, I took a number 15 with would not bang.
Oh, yeah. So sorry. So it's like a 15 with a substitution, which I guess is allowed, but it's going to take a little longer.
Bang, bang, sauce.
I am outraged.
Yeah. So
by both your opinion and the scene and fat shaming.
And television.
Fat shaming.
You got to go meta early or the irony's going to get you.
Wait, damn it.
I'm mad about HBO Go separating from a cable subscription. Boom. Reversal.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I'm mad about the Sopranos ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, it was bad. I'll say it.
Talking about the Sopranos ending?
Is that why we're not talking about Mad Men? Because you haven't seen it?
I haven't seen Mad Men since season 1.
Oh, what okay.
What did you think of season 1, though?
It was good.
Oh, the last Mad Men was really good, too.
Was it about Mad Men?
Yeah, it's about he just goes mad, man. kill me. He
gets his knob polished by a sweet young biddy.
He cries a lot, and then he invents the "I Want to Buy the World a Coke" song. It's pretty great.
Okay, so Laramie,
he didn't invent that. That's a lie.
In the show, there are no lies.
I haven't seen that show, so I don't care about Mad Men. We're not here to talk about that.
No, we're here to talk about Mad Max.
That's right.
Yeah.
Fury Road. Yeah.
We promised the listeners we would talk about that.
It's such a good movie.
Well, you can't break a promise to the listeners.
No.
No.
Never. I would never dream of that.
We love our listeners.
We do. We love
so I'm to get this started.
Except for Tom Travolta. Hey,
you know what? I love Tom Travolta, too.
Yeah, I do, too. He is entitled to his opinion.
Yeah, he's
what
got
did he say about me?
He said about me that I'm the worst.
He didn't mention you, Laramie.
You're
the best, Matt Lee.
He said I was the worst.
All right, so just to get this Mad Max discussion started, I'm going to lead with Armin White's review.
Oh, God.
All sound in Fury Road signifying nothing.
I like it. He might be right.
En route to Jurassic Park way back when, I warned my screening pal, when Spielberg decides to scare you, you'd better duck. But the millions of people excited by the internet trailer for George Miller's Mad Max Fury Road.
He has been drinking too much milk from the gratuity.
Generosity fridge.
Yeah.
That friend has since stopped speaking to me.
Why would you say that to anyone?
That friend was a cancerous tumor on my shoulder.
It's a setup for this next line.
Okay, sorry.
But the millions of people excited by the internet trailer for George Miller's Mad Max Fury Road aren't just ducking. They're bowing down.
What the fuck?
The odd thing is, film culture has changed so much since the 1993 Jurassic Park that trailers have become the end point of interest in movies. Jurassic Park's FX spectacle was the event. Yes. Now the cell is the event. Those who were teased by Fury Road's trailer will surely prefer it to the 2-hour-plus movie. Who can blame them? But that preference signifies a huge problem.
What is he even talking about?
I honestly don't know.
I picture him at his computer with like a penguin cigarette, like with a little holder.
He kind of...
The teenagers all hate this.
It kind of feels like he saw all the good reviews and so he needed to hate this, but he can't figure out a coherent reason why.
He didn't, yeah.
Fury Road continues the end of civilization premise from the other Mad Max. Tom Hardy, playing survivalist loner Max, joins a group of runaway female concubines led by Charlize Theron's Imperator Furiosa, zooming for peace and regeneration in a dystopian world. With a few explanatory narrative details, other than the elaborate cartoonish freakdom, mankind has gone rogue, the earth is sour, who killed the world? It's all just nonstop road rage violence. Director-writer Miller capitulates to the low instincts he originally pandered to more than 30 years ago.
With the movie Babe.
There were no dinosaurs.
Oh, he mentions Babe.
Babe Pig in the City.
Oh, yes.
He mentions that. Let me get to it.
Oh, man.
He's gotten better at it, demonstrating lots of panache. But the problem is that popular taste has degraded into an appetite for outlandish destruction and fantastic cruelty.
What? All right, sorry.
The pop...
I'm playing into his game. Continue.
The pop audience, and not just youth, has become like the crazed Yahoos Miller depicts on screen.
Don't talk shit on Yahoo. I'm a stockholder.
Millennials equal war boys emote.
Without exactly satirizing him. Okay, so where does he mention Babe? Hold on, it's in here somewhere. Okay.
I'm so excited.
Miller doesn't simply master this "we are all gladiators" trope. He celebrates it. None of today's specialists in nihilism can match this stuff. Not Darren Aronofsky, not Christopher Nolan, not Bong Joon-ho, not Quentin Tarantino. But so what?
Aronofsky's
a nihilist? Apparently.
Yeah, man, I could see that.
But so what? When Miller put aside the Mad Max franchise and made the marvelous Babe, Pig in the City and Happy Feet.
Wait. He liked Babe, Pig in the City over Babe?
Yeah. Babe, Pig in the City is fucking rad.
He chose the sequel.
Yeah, because like Babe's following the book and the second one's all Miller.
Babe, Pig in the City, you better duck. That's what I told my friends.
He showed more feeling for a pig and for penguins than for humans. Hardy's charisma is wasted, leaving the film's emotional core to Theron's one-armed Furiosa, a grindhouse cliche like the one-legged Rose McGowan in Planetary.
Why does the one arm matter?
I don't know.
He's
an armist.
I feel like he's losing his edge. Like, I don't.
Well, he's writing for National Review now, and I think there's more of an editing process here than there was.
like that unedited process, you mean?
That was like a B-minus troll. Like, he couldn't find focus. Right. He didn't hang up on one weird thing.
He doesn't have like a. Like, the closest he came to an Armin White sentence in this was.
Duck.
So, you know, he has those like horribly convoluted sentences with like six clauses and four French phrases. This is the best he can do now, because I think someone at National Review is like editing these.
They got the reins.
Which is hilarious, because I want to know if National Review knows that Armand White is like a black gay man from New York. I'm pretty sure he's written about being gay. So
I thought National Review was all different now. They switched everyone around.
Is it? I thought it was still a conservative thing.
I could just imagine the editor getting that Armand White review, you know, scrawled in pig blood, you know, and just going like, what do I do with this? What do I even
All I can read is Banache.
Did you get this guy?
Here's the... Yeah, right? So here's... Actually, they kind of write similarly. But anyway, so here's the most Armin Whitey sentence in the whole thing. By overinflating the biker movie concept, featuring whips and chains, leather and studs, and a body pierced, a dreadlocked, skinhead chorus line, Miller allows his outre flamboyance to rob subcult menace of its edge.
That outre flamboyance.
I did feel it lacked a little bit of an edge.
It's a $150 million budgeted movie, you know?
It came at the cost of world building, which I thought he did an excellent job of.
Mm.
The guitar guy was rad. I don't know about movie critiques. That's the best I could do.
That guitar guy was rad.
I heard critiques of people like, I liked it. There wasn't much of a plot.
Oh, God, they need to shut the fuck up.
There was a lot of plot.
Oh, where's the MacGuffin?
Yeah.
I was expecting the one-armed lady. I was expecting a portal to a different dimension.
I think people confuse, or Matt Gubser was like, I liked it. It just didn't, you know, there wasn't a lot of depth.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And I'm like, did you want the fucking post-apocalypse people to like have an argument about Aaron Sorkin movies in the middle of the movie? Like, what would depth look like?
I have never seen such spectacular use of the periphery, both narratively and visually. Like, there's fucking shit going on in every corner of the frame, like well-coordinated shit. And then everything has a story or is hinting at a story, like the fucking dead baby in the fucking milk mother's arms.
Yeah.
The best is that it's everything's hinting at a story.
It's spectacular.
Yeah, that is.
I've never seen something so well executed where someone wasn't like, hey, could you go back in there and over-explain that part? Yeah.
Could you over-explain why he draws the faces on the tumors?
Yeah. It's like what's the Kessel Run? However many parsecs it is. And then you just have to listen to someone describe it for like half an hour.
Yeah.
It's like, they just fucking
like
leave
the first
it
20 minutes of a Joss Whedon movie.
Yeah, exactly. It is the anti-Whedon, and it's spectacular.
A film like in the same, I guess, dystopian, whatever, that tried at depth, and I think kind of sucked at it, was The Road, where they kept doing the flashbacks or whatever to Charlize.
Yeah.
Like, that's when you kind of screw it up, because it's like, everything's terrible, but here's why.
Yeah. They did have flashbacks in Fury Road, though.
They did, but they weren't as like...
They're like, here's why he has a superpower.
Yeah.
They weren't what? Sorry?
They weren't as on the nose as the Road ones, I guess.
Yeah.
You're just not a Cormac McCarthy fan.
I am. Just not as movies.
I've also never seen a movie as good at being a movie.
Right, exactly.
Like, the editing on this, if you guys watch the GIFs like that have come out, like, you watch a 10-second clip, and it's probably like four cuts, and it is smooth as fucking silk. Like, there are cuts on action, and it is like the leg swings one way and the camera's going the next way in the cut, and then it catches something. And like, I've never seen temporal filmmaking like that I can remember this technically proficient. Like it is out of control how good he is with his editing team.
So
I mean, I assume that he's got a say in the editing. He might just have an excellent like lead editor, but
well, another fucking good. I've been like a connoisseur of bad reviews for this movie.
This is Edgar Wright level. Like right. Quality of editing.
So like there's a lot of movies that I like that I can understand why people hate, and I'm not gonna like go to the fucking mat defending Chappie, even though personally I fucking love Chappie.
Yeah.
You go to sleep, Chappie.
And I'm not ashamed of that. But like this movie, I watched it and I'm like, I don't understand how anyone could not love this movie.
Yeah.
So I've been like sort of a connoisseur of the bad reviews.
Oh Jesus.
And of course, my old friend Mick LaSalle from The Chronicle didn't like this movie.
That guy has never written a review that I agreed with.
Yeah. I'm trying to find a good
I don't think part I, of this. I think Mad Max is a perfect shibboleth for whether or not you should be allowed to have any opinions on movies. Like if you're just like, hey, Mad Max, and they don't say the right response, like they don't pronounce it right, I think you can just disregard their opinion.
Yeah, their opinion doesn't matter anymore. Like,
old Brett would have said you bury them in the desert.
Right.
And then they can live out their hollow existence in a similarly hollow casket under the sand.
Right.
New Brett's just like, hey, maybe like you don't have to listen to them.
Yeah. New Brett just ignores the people that he despises.
He doesn't bury them anymore.
He buries them deep within his soul.
No, he does. He just lets them bounce right off.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Oh, you're bouncing.
Mad Max.
Yeah.
Furry Road.
Shut up, Laramie. Jesus fucking
Was Christ. That a list?
That's another movie. Mad Max Furry Road.
Avengers Age of Adeline. So here's the kicker from Mick LaSalle. Still, for what it is, Mad Max Fury Road isn't bad. 2 hours of action scenes that are well-crafted and entirely lacking in suspense. And with some clever but fake-looking special effects.
What the fuck is he talking about?
First of all, the whole thing's practical effects.
Yeah. They were actually on all the cars.
The guy's guitar. The guy's guitar actually shot flames, and he was actually on a car that was fucking moving.
Right.
The real world looks kind of fake, Vince. Come on.
Yeah. Also, the whole thing is fake because it's a movie. It's not even real.
That's the worst. It was like, oh, I don't think cars are real. I don't think people drive to work.
You're just watching it. This is fake.
Yeah. Just shouting at your window.
That's not Mad Max. That's an Australian actor.
Green screen.
Have you heard Jesse?
That's clearly Oscar winner Charlize Theron. Clearly.
Yeah.
And I love that they didn't kiss. And I like their teamwork. Oh God! What about when they were murdering people and like it was like synchronized swimming and the fucking Nux, Charlize.
I like the guys
Mad
on
Max, the fight, the three way fight that was just like. Oh,
I like the guys on the stilts in the mud. Well,
yeah.
What was
yeah.
that about?
The bird people.
I love that, and it was like you guys were saying before. It's like they can have that. And you could just look at it and laugh and go, that's fucking great. And you don't need an explanation.
Right.
Yeah. We don't need to know what they're doing.
They hint at it just enough for your brain to take over. They're like, well, that's where the green place used to be. And then the crows came. And you were like, oh,
yeah. Okay. Those are bad guys, probably. Or they're scavengers.
The
Doesn't matter.
Also, I'm done thinking also, about it. God damn it. Shut up. The whole team out there.
Are you
also,
Tom Travolta?
Christ. They look out there as they're driving by like, what the fuck is this? But they don't have time, you know, like investigate or whatever. Yeah. They're kind of a proxy for the audience.
Yeah.
Never mind.
No, you shut up.
Screw you guys.
No, you shut up, though.
So I will say.
Do it.
As soon as the first wave of reviews came out and they're like, this is a feminist film, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's opinion 34 on the menu.
Yeah, it annoyed the shit out of me because. It's
a regular
it's not,
film.
It's just a good story. It's just a good story. It's not it sound like it's reactionary is
the, you know where this is a feminist film? Saudi Arabia, because a woman's driving. Hey-o!
Yeah, it's like a not sexist film. So then now we're into second wave think pieces, which is like why it's actually not feminist.
That's
it's
why
like,
you got to go meta. See, you got to go meta early and attack the medium, or otherwise your think piece is just going to get rolled over by a third wave think piece.
I was waiting.
I don't like projection. I don't like the way light works, and I don't like when it hits the screen. I don't like that it has to bounce off something to hit my eyes.
Prisms are problematic.
When you think about it, isn't projection screens inherently
persistence?
Unfair to the
persistence of
class?
Motion is fundamentally deception.
Well, I don't call it light. I call it of color. No, I did think that I was kind of waiting for the counter think piece about how that wasn't a feminist movie.
I knew that was coming.
Because when I before I even saw the movie, people were lauding it as this big feminist masterpiece. And I was like, all right, cool. And then I saw it and I was like, I mean.
They do treat women equally.
If I were to write think pieces, I'd be like, oh, my angle would be actually it's not feminist because they need a man to save them. And
No. What I said was it's not feminist unless you consider feminism the equal right to die in battle, which I don't.
Yeah.
That's just a normal humanist kind of thing.
So yeah. After the box off, I wrote the box office report and you know, like Pitch Perfect 2 destroyed Mad Max.
Which really? Is
expected. And everybody's like, fucking dumb chicks, finally there's a feminist movie out and you fucking go see Pitch Perfect 2.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'm kind of like, all right, so this is the problem of what we deem feminist, which because it's like, all right, so yes, a couple dudes made a movie where like women were treated equally, whereas Pitch Perfect was written and directed by a woman by a woman and produced by women, and people were like, oh, I don't know, dude. It doesn't make chicks look that awesome. It's like, that's not what feminism is, dummy.
Right.
It also has a song that says, who runs the world? Girls.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure it's about them getting like an equal voice, not about like making every movie make chicks look good.
There was a couple of Thunder Nerds that rolled in right when I was sitting down, and I got excellent seats in Suburbia, which was like... Fucking!
That's the plus of living in suburbia.
There were a lot of bad experiences in the movie theater, but like I was really looking forward to this movie, and I needed it to be good, and I needed to like not have people like run their mouth the whole time.
Oh, you should never
and
see
so
a movie with me.
I sat in the middle. And everyone was quiet, and these Thunder Nerds roll in, and they're just like, Pitch Perfect 2 line is double the size, and like they were, I mean, like picture an old school stereotypical. Like white male nerd, and this is like perfectly two of them.
Okay, I get Colin Hanks with glasses.
One of them, yes.
Okay,
but the other one, goatee, ponytail, trench coat.
Ooh, all right, yeah. All right.
About 30 pounds overweight, just like standard, like classic
comic
archetype.
Book guy.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Like, you know, you're scared of crabs. Yeah. And like not like crabs on your junk, but like actually the face of a crab.
Right, right.
Yeah, like scary
the
face.
Yeah, the archetype of like the subsurface horror.
Uh-huh.
This is that for nerds.
Okay.
So they were really like really vocally upset about the fact that Pitch Perfect 2 had doubled the line to Mad Max, and they thought they were in like a safe space. They thought that they were like home and they could just bitch about it. And it's like, that's what makes it not a safe space, motherfucker, is the fact that you think you need to shout about how dumb and how that's a problem with America. It's like they were a little like pop culture Gary from Fremont's wandering and they just like, oh, this is a safe space. We can make all the racist jokes we want.
Right.
And it's like, motherfucker, that's the reason that...
Well, there's the misguided, dopey left-wing Gary from Fremont where it's like, well, they didn't see the one that's the feminist one because I read a book. I read a think piece.
Yeah.
Like, fucking, so you want to watch a musical instead of a car wreck movie? Like, fucking let him.
Yeah.
Again, people are conflating the idea of feminism with a woman who can fight, but she couldn't fight because she was a woman. She could fight because she could fight, right? Like,
right.
That's what people are.
Or they're conflating a feminist movie with a movie that makes women look good, which is not really the goal.
Yeah.
Feminism. Yeah,
like, that's so sad that this qualifies as a feminist movie where it's like, well, they didn't all get raped by Ramses. So that's good, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's nice.
They didn't make Matt's top 10 rapes of HBO.
So here's the second wave think.
Specifically the one thing. Yeah.
Here's the second wave think piece about why it's not actually feminist.
Oh, you don't read it.
I got to.
Well, I'm in a good mood.
Yeah, that's right. Remember, let it bounce off you, new Brett.
The first full shot we get of
you
the
don't think I can do it.
I don't. I know you can't.
The first full. This is from in the Times. The headline of which is actually Mad Max Fury Road.
It starts with actually. No, it does not. No, it does not start with actually. That's. Is there a website? right now that's called actually.com? Because we, if not, we should start it.
Oh, when we were coming up with Mad Max names for Up Rock Staff, that was my Friday conversation.
Yeah.
And Burnsy was like, Dan Seitz's Mad Max name is, well, actually the correct. It was pretty great.
Wait, have you guys not spent your entire lives thinking about your Mad Max names?
No.
Oh, not, at least since like Mad Max?
No.
Everyone saw the Road Warrior first, let's be real.
Yeah.
What's yours?
Okay, don't hijack this. I got to read this think piece.
Oh. Yeah. Can we do Mad Max names after?
After, yes, yeah. Yes. Okay. But you got to hear this.
I'll give you time to think about it.
Yeah.
Actually, Mad Max Fury Road isn't that feminist, and it isn't that good either.
Wait, I wasn't talking to you. What are you talking about? He's the guy, like, you're at a buffet, and he just comes up to you. He's like, actually. He's like, what?
I saw the greatest, image. It was just a Kool-Aid man busting through a wall, and it said, well, actually. And I was like, yeah, that's what they do.
Can I go get a beer for the first half, or do I have to sit the whole thing?
Sure, go for it.
Well, Matt's the one that's going to watch me crack like an egg.
Yeah.
Am I okay? Can I go get a beer?
Go get a beer.
Okay.
So first, there's the...
Give me a soda.
A few paragraphs down. The first full shot we get of the escaping women shows them standing tall against a gorgeous sunblasted horizon, wearing white muslin bikinis and other resort wear, and looking exactly like supermodels posing for a Vogue shoot in the deserts of Namibia. Rose Huntington Whiteley plays Splendid, the lead figure among the escaping band. The credentials that secured her this role are presumably her career highs as a top model, achieving the rank of a Victoria's Secret angel and a number one rating in Maxim Magazine's Hot List for 2011. The other women are even less impressive performers. None can act in the least, but in addition to unmemorably pretty features, they have a broad spectrum of hair and skin colors, which is important when setting up a group Vogue shoot in this enlightened age of ours. That no primitive patriarch in his right mind would ever choose these particular women as breeders to keep this colony alive is immediately apparent. First of all, they were wives. They weren't breeders. Uh-huh. One of them is so thin and pale as to be almost transparent and looks as if she'll die in a photogenic way at any second.
What is happening? What is going on with this article?
But she could
haters
step,
gonna hate, I believe.
But she could step onto any catwalk during Fashion Week, no questions asked. Of course, Charlize Theron as Furiosa benefits from proximity to the supermodels who make her seem, by comparison, furiously strong and a better actor than Meryl Streep. She's tall enough to seem physically imposing, and she moves with athleticism. But
this
she also
definitely molested by his mom.
No, it's a girl.
Well,
same-sies.
But she also brings with her the legacy
of feminism.
But she also brings with her the legacy of so many Dior perfume ads, the soft, tiny-nosed blonde prettiness that her crew cut merely accentuates, and that John Seale's lovely cinematography enshrines in innumerable close-ups. Just compare this example of on-screen feminism to Sigourney Weaver in Alien.
When they're talking about Weaver like was Tom Hardy isn't the single handsomest male on the planet. They're like, oh, yeah, well, the boys are all ugly except for Tom Hardy, the prettiest man that's ever lived.
Weaver was 6 feet tall, odd, angular, smart, and forceful, with highly individual, non-model looks and a remarkably ambitious actor's resume.
Just call her ugly.
Shot in unforgiving light and wearing a unisex worker's uniform.
Except for the awesome underwear and her super good-looking body.
Right, exactly. Yeah, everybody hates 6 feet tall chicks with awesome legs.
And angular builds.
Yeah.
Oh, cheekbones that could cut through a butter knife.
I like the writer's like, look at this fucking lesbian. Now this is a feminist hero because she's gross. I wouldn't fuck her with someone fucking misogynist dick.
It's two monsters on screen. It's a horror movie.
When the movie started, I thought she was the alien. I was so grossed out, my pussy dried up. I consider myself on the bisexual spectrum, but I saw that. I was like, give me some dick, because that's gross.
I ran for a dick as soon as I saw it.
So, yeah. Yeah, well.
What do we call this character?
Yeah, this is
Mary from Fremont, feminist screenwriter.
Yeah, right. Mary
curiously, from Fremont. Bro, feminist screenwriter.
Hey, that's Mary from Fremont. No, I can't.
Hey, this is Mary from Fremont.
All the women were too pretty. There's not enough ugly ones.
But wasn't the point that he kept all the pretty women in a cage? Like
right.
he had the access to the four pretty women left in society, other than Charlize, who was fucking really pretty with a shaved head.
But missing an arm.
It's better.
I know.
Better. I like that.
She's got
better.
That kung fu grip for that fucking hand job. You know what I mean? Jesus. Rip that dick off with it.
Jesus. What is happening?
She call it feminist all she wants. Hard to talk with my dick in that mouth.
This is going off the rails.
Yeah, white power. What?
Not good.
Huh? Huh? I thought that's where this was going. Is that not where this is going? All right.
Gotta change your voice more.
What?
I know women with only one hand can really use them toes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They use them toes in that piece. What are we talking about? I don't know.
Hey, Jim's, man, if you could touch your own pussy with your toes, that would be amazing.
Can't you?
I tried to jack off my own dick with my feet one time.
I can touch my own pussy with my heel.
Oh.
Yeah.
No way. Not even close. My thighs are too big.
I could suck my toes while I jack off. If I sit the right way.
Not sure why I'd want to.
So, question. Out of all movies where Charlize could have used her South African accent,
God,
wouldn't this have been really bothered by that.
I was
really
wondering
bothered.
That exact thing too, because I figured
because it's kind of Australia.
Yeah, everybody else has got Australian accents.
Yeah, I didn't understand why she didn't do it.
By the way, did you guys realize that Immortan Joe was the same actor as the toe cutter?
I did, but only because one would stop talking about it.
I don't know either of those words. What do you?
Toe cutter's from the original. He's like the
gang leader. I had never seen
second in command.
Any Mad Max movie. Ever.
First Mad Max kind of sucks.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
People are like, oh, it's like Terminator 1 instead of Terminator 2. Like, Terminator 1 is better than Terminator 2.
Uh-huh.
Suck both Terminators
but
are
like,
good.
Mad Max is not better than the Road Warrior.
It's more like Evil Dead 1. Is that a better comparison?
I thought Evil Dead 2 was like a remake, though.
Yeah, kind of.
No, the first one wasn't even that post-apocalyptic. He like lives in suburbia, and then his like family gets murdered, and he has to fight biker gangs. And then like the next one's like also Gimp Suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen any.
Laramie had a correction for us.
Oh, yeah. Actually.
Oh, actually.
Evil Dead.
Oh, actually, I didn't have anything past that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We should do.
He got the important part.
We should do a podcast called Actually.
It is feminist, so there.
Actually, it isn't. Because a man has to help them take power back. If it wasn't for the man coming up with the ideas to go back to the Citadel, they would have just rode on into nothingness and died. But thank God
I'll go one further.
What? Go ahead.
I'll go you one further. Henry Ford invented the car.
Oh, he is a man.
All right.
A fascist.
Trump card.
I'll go another further. Henry Ford also wrote The International Jew, a series of newsletters.
So he was right a lot.
Wait, was he straight up Nazi?
Yeah, pretty much.
Also, I thought he was just like a fascist, where he's like,
he was straight up Nazi.
Okay, also he was
also Bobby Fischer.
So he kind of stole the idea for like he basically took credit for one of his underlings coming up with the assembly line.
Wait, are we still talking about Ford?
A bad guy.
No, but so Ford was so dumb that at one point he had to testify in this trial where it was a libel trial because someone had like said he was a dumbass in print. And so as a ploy, one of the lawyers like called him to the stand and was asking him like trivia questions.
Mm.
And he was so dumb that there was a guy outside selling court transcripts for 25 cents because people wanted to read about what a fucking dumbass Henry Ford
was. That
was
the famous Scopes Monkey trial. A little bit of history for you there, guys.
Actually.
Is that where the heir to the Scope fortune was testing his mouthwash on Jim?
That's it.
And then they ended up believing in Jesus. Yeah, and he's like, see, this is the best mouthwash. I made monkeys believe in
that
Jesus.
Is some A+ world building. That is good. That is good stuff. And then people are going to be like, there's no narrative. It's just a bunch of words all string together, but they're dumb.
Yeah.
Hey, can we do our names?
Yeah.
Laramie, what's your name?
Well, Vince already named me, so I'll let him tell it.
Oh,
Palsy Bear.
Yeah, Palsy Bear.
Because
of the palsy.
Yeah, Paul Bear.
No, but what did you come up with for yourself?
Thoroughly Modern Lars.
Okay, I like that.
Nice.
Lunatic Laramie was the other one.
Thoroughly Modern Lars kind of sounds like you'd have a new wave band. Like you'd kind of look like Elvis Costello. You'd be wearing some wingtips.
Well, best case scenario.
Playing your little hollow body.
Actually.
Yeah. What about you, Matt?
I you sent me that text and I was like I had no clue. I was like, I don't even know what that means because I'd never seen any of the movies. And at that point, I had not seen Fury Road. So mine's, I don't know what it means. So the,
mine's Thruster.
Is it like a Burning Man name?
No, it's a...
No, God. Oh, you would never make it to the apocalypse.
Okay, so people in Mad Max are named like Nux, the Doof Warrior, Keeper of the Seeds.
Fucking...
Who? Oh, Morton Joe, yeah.
Squeezy.
Lord Humongous.
Squeezy Bear.
Lord Humongous.
What about Squeezy Bear?
Okay.
Would Squeezy Bear survive?
Probably not.
Okay. What about Kissy Lips?
I mean, Kiss Murder?
I want mine to be positive because I'm a positive shill.
You are.
Positive shill. That's your name.
Positive shill is actually a really good one. Yeah.
What about Good Mood Brett?
No. All right. Mine is Regretosaurus Fret. Uh-huh. And my biker gang is the Desperados.
All right.
And we roll around in like decommissioned parade floats.
Nice.
Like from SeaWorld and shit.
That's great.
A bunch of orcas and we're living inside of them. Yeah.
That's actually.
And it's like really scary.
You have?
Like, they still, their mechanical mouths still work and they're like singing songs like. Yeah, like that's how I live.
That you've definitely had into this for years.
What it's probably been. 20 years that I've been thinking about this nonstop pretty much every morning when I wake up.
Okay, you guys, we got to ask Laramie about the Dallas trip.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
First of all, what's the movie called?
Lightweight.
Lightweight. You and Ben went to Dallas. You competed in a series of physical challenges.
Also true.
Did you win? Who won?
Actually, it turns out if you compete against a steroid-riddled angry small Jewish man, you get crushed.
Oh, so you let him beat you?
Oh, he beat me like a kettle drum, dude.
Just because he hasn't been doing anything but working out for the last 6 months.
Have you seen his abs?
Yeah, I saw a picture. Insane. It's stupid. It's like you could take a little bite out of all of them.
Yeah, you could fucking cum on them.
Yeah.
You could wash. You could cum on them and then wash your clothes in your cum.
I mean, honestly.
That's a competition I would win.
Does he have to clean them with a Q-tip to get in between the muscle?
You're supposed to be all starched up and all like stiff in your hangers, just sticking straight out your sweater, just pointing straight out like Jesus on the cross.
I did beat him in chess.
Nice.
That's the important spoiler. One.
Good job, Bobby Fischer.
Hey, he's a Jew hater.
Yeah. He sure is.
Joe used to call me Bobby Fischer.
Bobby Fischer because of your anal fissures?
My butt.
Yeah, no, I got it.
So how'd the movie turn out? I heard you guys edit it. Who shot it? Did you shoot it?
Yeah, we just shot it together.
Yeah? You just filmed each other?
Yeah.
Hot.
You weren't in like
he'd whip one off for a sec, and I'd go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds hot.
I mean, I think it's good if you like watching me lose things.
Everyone likes watching you lose, Laramie.
Yeah. So there you go. Good movie.
So you guys, are we going to see it anywhere, selling it online? How's that work?
Yeah, it's going to come out in June, and it'll be, I think, like a buck or two or something. Yeah.
All right.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a lot like Mad Max.
Okay. Yeah.
Actually, and it is feminist in the sense that me and Ben are in it.
Yeah. And you guys are feminist.
And chicks like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They like him, and I'm poofy. So that's good.
You like what I squirt my soap into to make it frothy.
Well, you know what? Women like to talk to me about the issues of the day and whatnot. Uh-huh. So I consider myself a fourth wave feminist.
You're on that new wave.
You're hearing about it.
I'm not sure what wave that is exactly. Yeah.
Surfing it in.
A very effeminate wave.
I tell you what, the trailer's great, though. I think we may just release the trailer, like Armin said.
Do you have that out? I mean, that's what the kids want these days. The war boys want nothing but trailers.
You better duck, bitches.
Because dinosaurs, right. They're going to get you.
Park?
It's going to be real scary when they get you. Better duck.
So we got
better duck for the dinosaurs.
Quack, duck.
We're talking about ducks
and dinosaurs.
Yeah,
the ducks and the
Okay, so we got some emails. We got to get to emails because we're getting low on time.
And
gotta get to emails.
We're quacking.
Yeah, and
we're making ducks.
This one,
you are quacking me up.
Fuck off, man.
And good night and eat the beans. All right, go ahead.
This one could get us sued by Smash Mouth, so I figure I should read this email.
Oh shit!
Cool.
The email subject is just called Steve Harwell story.
That's Smash.
Yeah.
Smash.
That's
I thought it was going to be cease and desist.
That's Joe Smash Mouth.
Yeah.
What's up, fellas? I'm one of your regular commenters and listeners of the Frogcast since the beginning, and with some relative frequency, I've noticed y'all talk about Smash Mouth. In my brain, I always tell myself to email you guys, but never do. Generally because my story isn't that rad, like the time Danzig cleaned up bricks. That was a good story. But you guys just brought up Smash Mouth groupies, and wouldn't you know it, that's exactly what my story is about. In college, my buddy's girlfriend used to bang Steve Harwell. Now, she was pretty hot, so Matt's image that he only drills fat chicks with his show didn't apply here. I forgot you said that.
No, that was my image. Yeah. Fat chicks with his chode.
They had met when she followed Smash Mouth around on tour in high school. We had an inside joke that she blew all the roadies in order to meet him backstage, which, given her promiscuity in college, was very likely true.
Stop slut shaming.
He smashed her mouth.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Anyway, Steve Harwell would call her dorm room all the time. Ironically, my friend's name is also Steve, so that was another inside joke right there.
That's fun.
And she would insist that they were just friends. Then when Smash Mouth was touring, she disappeared for 4 or 5 days. In any event, she reappeared like nothing happened. I can't remember exactly where she said she had been. What I do know, according to her sometime later, is that Harwell wrote a song for her called All Star. Seriously, every time that song would come on, which, when you're going to bars, parties all the time, was 2 or 3 times a night, she would tell people about how it was her song and point out lyrics that were specifically about her and how that one time she disappeared, she was with him, and he was so inspired, he came up with the song right in front of her.
When he says, hey, now, that was right then. It was right then, and I was right there.
Was she the one who once told him the world was going to roll him, and he wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed?
That's the one, yeah. Mm-hmm. The shape of an L on her forehead?
Yeah.
Oh, brutal. That's for loser.
Well,
the world stops coming, and it don't stop coming.
Well,
fed to the rules, and hit the ground running.
Well, actually.
Your brain says not to live for fun. Your brain gets spopped, but your head gets done.
Well.
I saw Smash Mouth. Remember that? A couple years back.
Yeah.
Played the deep cuts.
Yeah. I remember your memories.
I remember all your
memories. No, I told you guys.
Of course.
Come on.
Of course. She was with him, and he was so inspired, he came up with the song right in front of her. The music just magically poured out of his heart.
It's almost as if he had written it beforehand.
You, that's cynic, Brett. No.
Oh, sorry.
No.
Hey.
Congratulations
on your marriage to Smash Mouth.
Why
can't I say that?
So what happened? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's Steve Harwell having sex with underage girls and pretending to create songs for groupies.
Oh, underage?
She said she was in college.
Yeah. That's not underage. I fucking hope not, right?
That was weird.
Smash. Fuck you.
Yeah. We got another.
Fuck your 18-year-old pussy.
Got an email about Blossom.
Oh. Blossom Deary?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hold on.
Did you guys watch Blossom?
Well.
What?
Did you guys watch Blossom?
I seen some. She had a friend named Six. Joey was the brother.
What was the song?
Whoa.
In my imagination, right? The sermon on my shoulders.
Yeah, there it is. That's anybody's guess. Ain't no good. Can you hear it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Laramie, you can hear this, right?
No.
Well, opinionation. The sun is gonna surely shine.
What
the fuck is this?
Hey now, you're an all-star.
You never
watched Game On.
You never watched
Play.
I swear to God, I've seen an episode. I do not remember any of
it. It's the opening.
Six, she had a hat with a flower on it.
Yeah, but like.
Always?
Blossom is dancing and stuff?
I don't remember any of it. Slap on a
smile. Come on and walk in the sun for a while.
And all that glitters is gold.
You wanna have a good time. And in my opinion, the sun is gonna surely shine.
What the fuck?
You know, that girl had some moxie. I'll say that about
her. She wore like vests and like hats, right? They all had hats.
She had
some oxy. I like oxy.
All right, so back in September, I had a free preview of the Hub Network, and there were several shows I recorded. One was Blossom. She had just returned from a several-episode arc in Paris. When she got back, Six developed a drinking problem. But the drinking problem came about so abruptly that I wanted to see if there were any hints of it happening before the particular episode I watched, or if the problem reoccurred after the one it was introduced in. What I found on Wikipedia were these wonderful episode descriptions. 1. Blossom sees a gun at school. Joey meets an alcoholic clown. 2. Six dates a married ex-con named Sonny, David Schwimmer, 10 years older than she is. The president writes a letter to Joey asking for his advice. Vinny and Anthony set up an illegal cable hookup. 3. While in Vegas, Anthony starts drinking again. The family tries to accept Nick's new girlfriend. Meanwhile, Six finds herself out that she is pregnant.
What, is this real?
Yeah, these are episode descriptions.
Holy fuck.
4. Blossom and her supervisor are at a homeless shelter. Nick becomes a vegetarian. Anthony can't stand a waiter's racial slurs.
We gotta watch that episode.
5. 6's date, Gordo, Scott Wolf, makes a pass at Blossom. A gay teammate turns out to be Joey's secret admirer. Anthony's father-in-law discovers that he arrested Nick in the 1970s. Blossom feels blue when her 17th birthday comes up. Joey writes a letter to Hillary Clinton. Carol's ex has an odd proposal for Nick. Shelley hasn't told her cousin that Anthony is white.
What? Having not actually seen many episodes of the show, I do not know what the fuck is it. Why wouldn't she know that this person's white?
Here's the last two. The last two are the best. 2 aliens in a flying saucer, voiced by Joey Lawrence and Michael Stoyanov, choose the Russo home for their observations of human behavior. And lastly,
that's
the episode description
of the season finale or the series finale.
I think that this last one's the season finale. Okay. When she gets tricked into going to the homecoming dance with a school geek, Blossom blames herself. Joey wants to get his driver's license, and then in parentheses, guest appearance by Alf.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Wait, Alf was on Blossom?
Apparently.
I mean, Jesus. As a guest.
Yeah.
Well, it's scoreboard.
Both these guys are texting right now, and I don't like it.
I am not texting. I am reading a text. Is that the same?
I'm on Twitter.
Talk to me, Vince.
Right. I didn't watch Blossom. I don't know any
That's
of those
fine.
Things.
This next email
I didn't
is not...
watch Alf either. I know he likes to eat cats.
He does.
The guy who wrote it, heroin addict.
Hey, his name's Gordon Shumway.
All right.
Weird.
Okay, this last
from Melmac.
This last email is not about Alf.
Okay.
Hey, frauders. I need your wisdom on this one. I worked a Tuesday night shift at my job on Tuesday and left work around 11:45. I work in Midtown Manhattan and live in Brooklyn, so I usually take the subways home and to work. Tonight there was construction being done on the second half of the subway line home.
Is this Steven? Is that his name?
No.
All right.
So I said fuck it and decided to hail a cab. We go about 12 blocks before this dude stops the car and tries to talk to me. The guy doesn't speak English, but after a while I figure out that his tire blew out and he can't take me home. We're parked at a busy intersection and some jackass decides to lay on the fucking horn like crazy instead of using his brain and go around. I reach my hand out of the car and flick him off. Okay, first of all,
This is a sticking point with you. I know.
It's flip him off.
It is.
It's not flick him off.
Some people say flick.
Okay, but they're wrong.
Okay.
It's flip. Yeah.
Yeah. I reach my hand out of the car and flick him off while saying, oh, fuck you. Not my best move for sure, but not uncommon in NYC.
Sure.
So I pay my...
I'm walking here. That's what they do.
So I pay my fare and step out of the cab and feel something slightly tap my shoulder. It's a fast food cup. Thankfully empty. And as I look to the street, I see a jack-off shitbag yelling at me from a commercial vehicle. He's the guy who was blaring his horn, obviously, and didn't appreciate me telling him to fuck off. Mm. He's shouting at me and carrying on like a douche. So I whip out my phone and take pictures of the name of his company and his plates.
Yeah.
Seeing me do so, he pulls around to a nearby corner and gets out of his car to approach me on the street.
Yeah. Jeez.
He carries on for about 5 minutes, calling me a faggot, a pussy, and a homo.
Uh-huh.
He also threatened to punch me in the fucking face, his words. As he left, he says, and if you call my work, I'll find you. Now, I'm 95% ready to call this shit llama's office and tell his boss what a fuck monkey his driver is.
Uh-huh.
Not with the intent of getting him fired, really, but if I were a boss, I'd want to know if my employee was threatening people on the clock.
Yeah.
So my question for y'all is this. Do I call? And if I call, what do I say? Thankfully, no punches were thrown, and I kept my cool, so I have all the leverage here. Thanks, and fraud on, Tim Mike.
Rule number one, never snitch.
I got this one, though. Here's the thing. You're not the snitch if you call.
I don't
think. Listen.
All right, go on.
Listen. I agree with rule number one. Rule number one's a good, solid rule. Don't snitch.
Yeah.
But honking snitching.
Oh, yeah. Snap.
So you're the guy coming into the cell shutting that fucking snitch up.
That's the first snitch.
Yeah.
I did not trace it back to original snitch.
Yeah. You're just fucking having a little bit of justice.
That's the golden
snitch. Putting
the snitch
away.
Yeah. You caught the golden snitch. You won the Quidditch game.
Nobody loves a honker. There's a honker next door to me, and like somebody's in his spot or something. But every day at different times, anywhere from like 6 in the morning to probably 11 at night, he'll just lay on his horn for 2-3 minutes. And like, I get it. It's rough when someone's in your spot.
But stop snitching.
Honking is the worst.
Yeah. So I think you should call. And
they should just call it the snitch horn.
Hey, this guy is a son of a bitch.
I'm really torn on this one because I agree with you. About people that honk, especially when you can.
You know
just
he's
go
honking in other situations.
Yeah,
when
people just pull up behind someone when they could go around, and then they act like that person's in the wrong. Yeah, it's like, motherfucker,
two strikes.
Go around.
Yeah. One, he didn't go around. Two, he's honking. Three.
Oh, he
got out of his car to fight.
Yeah, threw something at him and stuff. I mean, shit is fucked up.
I just don't think it's gonna feel. It would have felt good if you beat the guy's ass.
Yeah.
It's not gonna feel that good to get him fired.
I think it'll feel good to get him fired. And I am all about service staff. Like, you have a bad time at a restaurant, that's your fucking fault.
Yeah.
I don't get waitresses fired.
Uh-huh.
But like, this guy tried to fight you after honking at you.
Yeah.
New York is a fucking cutthroat place, and people do dumb, angry shit all the time directly behind you when there's an easy option because they're assholes.
Yeah, that's true.
One of them off the street, but you know what the problem is? He's going to go home and he's going to beat his kid. And he's probably going to murder someone because he doesn't have a job anymore.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's going to happen. This guy is going to get fired anyways for something else, and he's not going to know what the other thing is, and he's going to assume that it's this emailer who got him fired. So he's going to kill you anyways, homie.
True.
So what I would suggest instead of like snitching, just beat that motherfucker's ass. No, find him.
Yeah, set him on fire.
Kill him before he kills you, bro. Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
Because it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. You got to eat a dog first before the dog eats you.
Eat your dog, and then you...
All right, inside of every person is two dogs.
Two dogs.
A dog made of light and a dog... made of dark.
And they're in there because you ate them, because it's a dog-eat-dog world.
Exactly.
And you ate two of them, you're super strong now. You gotta go find that guy.
You now have the power of three dogs.
It's like a black and white cookie made of dogs.
You are a nesting doll of bats. You gotta find this guy, and you gotta kill him before he honks again.
I agree with Vince. It won't feel that good to get him fired.
What the fuck is wrong with you people? It feels great to get people fired.
Nah, man.
That's some blue collar jack off.
No, that's why you gotta be like really careful about when you use it, because it feels awesome to assert any sort of power over someone's life decisions.
Well, okay. Honestly, power does feel good.
It feels really good.
But absolute power
and this guy
corrupts the wolves inside your body.
Wait. Shit. Whose side am I on? Am I good still?
I feel like this is shill talking, and if I talk to real Brett, post Brett, shill is like, yeah, good, I'm fired. But I feel like pre Brett would be.
This is not pre Brett.
I don't know who pre Brett is. Regular old Brett would be like, nah, man, fuck that. Why are you snitching?
But regular Brett is just waiting for someone to cross that threshold where it's like,
that's true too.
I'm having a hard time like feeling mad at you because like you probably work like fucking 12 hours a day and you go home and it's like hard to be with your family, and then like I'm just waiting for someone to push forward past that point where I'm like, I am going to destroy
the righteousness.
And I'm not gonna feel bad about it, and I'm gonna do it on the internet in front of everyone. I'll make you fucking cut yourself.
I feel
that's old,
you guys are not letting Laramie speak.
Laramie,
I fucking gave up a long time ago. These guys don't take a breath.
No, they never do.
Sorry. I was going to say you should call and say you saw him hit a little kid and run.
Well.
That's better. Better than that shitty story.
Yeah.
Is that you? Did you throw the cup at the guy?
Yeah.
Why did he throw the cup? That is an interesting.
Wait, what?
He threw the cup at the guy. Laramie.
We think Laramie threw the cup.
Yeah. We're getting to the bottom of this.
I'm meek. I don't curse at people.
Well, you will inherit the earth, sir.
I definitely drive around him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is, I really hate that though.
No, it's the
worst.
People
honk and they could just easily go around. Yeah. Why?
New York people don't even respect the lines of traffic. Like, you're constantly ducking. Yeah, it's great because it's like you're never fucking safe.
Yeah.
And you recognize that. It's not like that's San Francisco where you think you're safe.
Yeah.
And then some dude just fucking crashes into you. New York, everyone's crashing into you all the time.
Yeah.
And everyone is out for blood.
But that's good. Okay, so
people shouldn't
respect the lines and the lights as much as like the flow of traffic. Like, all right, look, mm-hmm. I want to go this way. I look around. No one's crossing my path, so I can go that way.
Whole streets will shut down. Whole blocks of streets will shut down. And you're just like, hope you can fucking get around it, motherfucker. It's survival.
Yeah.
And you do or you don't. Or you just circle the same block for the rest of your life till you starve. Or they open up the street again. Like, that's...
You got to ride a bike and live in the castle.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah, live in the fucking startup
castle. As long as you don't date.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I said, yep, what a concept.
I can use a little dates myself, but we could all use a little makeup.
Is that Smush Mouth?
It is.
So he was tapping
Stone
groupies.
Man.
What?
Tapping groupies writing songs.
Huh? Beat the rhythm with your skin.
He's got the look in his eyes.
Save me.
He's going to do the whole song. He's going to do it. He's gonna do it as any better, and it's not any better. They're not.
It was Chris Cornell.
Now you do the same fucking voice.
Hmm. Anger.
I don't mind stealing bread from the mouths of decadence.
I'm going hungry.
Yeah. I see death around the corner.
Fuck.
All right. Yeah. Well, this has gone off the rails.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't think it was on the rails, like Pennsylvania choo-choo trains.
It was never on the rails. But you know what?
Too soon, dude.
Got dark, didn't
all
it?
Those people died.
I appreciate you guys for listening. Everybody who wrote in to say a nice thing, I appreciate you. I even appreciate that guy who hates Lieb.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that, too, because sometimes...
Lieb hates Lieb.
Yeah, sometimes I need a little bit of, like, self-reflection, you know?
Comeuppance.
A little bit.
Hey, Lieb, in all seriousness, this is not a joke question.
Go ahead.
What happened with this list thing? Like, I do not understand.
I forgot to ask you about that.
Oh, all right.
I do know you get jokes about it all the time now, and I don't know what's going on.
Okay. All right. So the basics of it is that San Francisco SF Weekly does not do a comics to watch list anymore. They used to do it every year, but in the last 2 years, they haven't done it.
Are there any comics?
Yeah, right, because we're all terrible. And and so I just kind of like felt like I named like 20 kind of open mic level comedians in town who I'm like, you know, these are really the list was born out of like who do I need to book more on shows who I don't think about.
Mm-hmm. Vince make the
like
list.
Like me, yeah. Well, no, I didn't make the list.
Vince is someone, he's not new.
Also, he's bad.
No, he's great. Actually, he's very impressive for someone who doesn't do stand up that much. You kill harder than
he's
like
got a gross face. He makes the bad sounds
more than half the people on the show usually.
He's got huge thighs.
Yeah. Well, it's his chest. Weird.
He can't even get like his toes in his own pussy. Yeah.
He's got a nice trunk, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. So I wrote those names down, and then a meme was started where it was just a list that I made because like the people who I didn't put on the list.
Which was like 170
right
people.
Exactly presumably got mad, although you know the truth of it is I think only a couple of people were mad and that's okay. And then so yeah, people started writing lists with me in it, which was really cute. Everyone was kind of doing it in the spirit of generosity and kindness. No, everyone was really nice, except for one guy who just was like, top number one overrated on funny ugly people, jerk faces, Matt Lieb. And
who
I was like
that?
This comedian out of Oakland, Matt, also named Matt. He's a less tall Matt, so I think he's jealous that I'm taller, and it hurt my feelings. That was the one where I was like, "That's a low blow, bro," because like I'm trying to be nice, and you call me overrated and unfunny. I'm certainly overrated, but unfunny. Fuck.
Who rates you?
Oh, you know, like the amount of bookings you get. I think that's the rate.
You got a lot of bookings?
I get booked a lot.
Because you're good at your job.
You know, that's what I say.
He gets booked on other podcasts that he does because he's a two-faced whore.
I'm allowed to do as a guest spot on other podcasts.
Yeah, I bet you are. Yeah, did they pay you money?
He gets booked for pedophilia.
No one ever pays me any. No, but anyways, that's what the list was about.
They didn't pay you Audible money, did they?
No, they
didn't.
You know
who else made a list?
You did. You.
No, Schindler.
That's true. Schindler did make a list. So did Hitler.
A little dips the doodle there. We all thought it was Laramie.
Yeah. No, I.
Actually, Hitler was an artist, so check the facts.
Yeah. His lists were the best art that he ever did. So yeah, that's where the list meme was born out of. It was born out of kindness. Hey, never do anything nice because, you know. People...
Yeah, this was a good story. So
people should
until next week, you guys, Google Voice number is 415-275-0030. Leave us a voicemail.
Leave us a voicemail.
Uh-huh. It's his name. It sounds like other words.
Kill me. Actually, don't do it.
The movie is called Lightweight. That'll be out.
And also
sometime.
Mad Max.
And Mad Max is
look,
also
if you're
a
not, it, look, if you don't go see Mad Max...
You're dumb.
Yeah, I mean, you're missing out. Yeah, it's a good movie, and you should enjoy good movies because enjoying stuff is fun, and it's nice to enjoy.
You fucking chill. you're bleeding out of your eyes right now, which is weird.
If you don't see Mad Max, you hate women.
Oh, that's true, though.
We were all thinking it.
Fourth wave feminism.
Frogcast@gmail.com. Matt, you want to take us on out of here?
Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. good cries in... and he's fleas. Kill it.
I don't know. I got to do a better one.
Until next week. You just good night over. And good chins.
Oh, it's not the same.
You can't do that.
Well, you don't know, if Brendan comes back, he can do it.
Poop pies and trick D's.
Something straightforward. Oh, that's fun. Oh, we have a really good time here.